And sometimes it can be helpful to go slowly, to enter a practice slowly. So it's almost like this process of taking a few breaths at the beginning of practice is almost like the setup for practice. It's like preparing the soil before planting the seeds. We don't have to rush into practice. There's no place to get to. So going slow and savoring the settling. And the same can be true as we arrange the body. You know, many of you have already taken your position. And sometimes it's helpful to even back up a little and just see if there needs to be any shifting or moving, a rearranging. There can be a little back and forth, stillness. And then in that stillness, there might be a deeper recognition of how the body is. And letting that felt sense of the body inform how the body needs to be arranged. It's actually an act of generosity to slow down and to listen to the body. Care for the body, to move it and position it in a way that supports ease and as much comfort as possible, to be gentle and non-harming with the body. So there might be this balancing of a lengthening through the spine and inviting a quality of energy and alertness in. While also inviting a releasing and a relaxing in any way that the body can let go. And we're simplifying, we're settling into stillness as we let go of movement for this next little while. We soften the gaze or close the eyes to let go of all the visual stimulation, all the information that comes in. Through the eyes and often directly into the brain, act activating the thinking mind. So the simplification is a gift. A gift that allows us to begin to turn in and to tune in to our own wisdom, the wisdom of our lived experience of this moment right here. And the tuning in has a quality of ease about it. We're not trying too hard. We're also, as best we can, not letting ourselves space out, but it's sort of this light touch with our awareness. As an energy that might be similar to the soft, spacious, receptive gaze we might bring to drinking in a beautiful sunset. Often the sunset is best received with a wide view. And so it actually has this quality of sort of resting back, receiving experience. Letting it come to you. And as you're resting into this moment, you might keep this quite wide, spacious view, receiving experience, sensations, sounds, maybe even thoughts and feelings. Or it might feel more skillful to really gather your awareness to a particular place, a particular anchor, a felt sense of the breath, or one of the touch points where your body is in contact with the floor or the chair. Letting yourself have a home base. So listening in to your own wisdom in this moment. What's the most skillful way to practice? With a collected anchor or a soft, receptive, wider view? Find yourself distracted. When the awareness feels like it's gotten fuzzy or diffuse, really being patient with the wandering mind. And without any judgment, just coming home to your anchor, or coming home to this intention to be deeply aware of experience, moment by moment. Bringing a quality of continuity, of persistence to your practice. And a sense of intention and energy can support that. And rather than viewing it as a chore, viewing it as an opportunity to gift yourself a generous attention to this very precious moment right here. Receiving whatever this moment is offering it itself as, whether difficult or enjoyable, opening and accepting. This moment, just as it is. It's like this, just like this. And as we gradually come to the final minutes of this practice, coming home again to your anchor or this wide, spacious, receptive view. And perhaps reflecting on how might this capacity to meet the moment with a generous attention, this capacity to simplify and see clearly, this capacity to have patience with the habits of mind and heart, and to persist, to continue. How might these be a support to you in your day? And how might these capacities be a support to others you may encounter, or even to the wider world? Perhaps bringing this practice to a close with the wishes that all beings know the blessing of a generous attention, and the kindness and clarity that can arise from simple presence. And that all of this somehow creates a world where all beings experience a greater sense of safety and more ease. May it be so. And you might gift yourself a slightly deeper breath and a very slow, unhurried release from this practice. Perhaps ending as we began with a little movement, letting the body guide you out of stillness in a similar way that it guided you into stillness. So we'll continue our journey with the paramis, these 10 perfections. And the next one in the list, I decided to give a session to itself. This is patience. is the sixth quality, and it seems like a good one for these times that we're living in. And for those of you who are interested in the Pali, that language of the ancient times of the Buddha, it's Kanti, K-A-N-T-I, patience. And it follows on the heels of effort. You remember last time we had wisdom and effort. And we need patience to continue to have effort to meet the world. And we actually need effort to have patience. So, you know, these thread together so powerfully. And patience is an interesting quality. Sometimes how it's colloquially used, it sort of indicates this quality of waiting. But patience is actually not about like, oh, I'm patiently waiting in line. It's not so simple as that. It's not simply getting through something or hanging out so that we can get something out of an experience or a situation. Ultimately, patience is about deep presence. It's about showing up, being with things as they are. You know, it has a quality of letting go. Yeah, we can kind of taste the flavor of renunciation, which was that simplification or letting go of the struggle. Patience has that quality in it of letting go of wishing things were different. It involves generosity, really bringing a generous attention to what's here. You know, I find my teachings in many of places, and I thought I would just share with you a few little excerpts from two of my favorite teachers. So I will share with you. This is Frog and Toad Together. This is one of my favorite children's books, Arnold Lobel. And some of you may know this. There's a story in here called The Garden. And I'll just read a little bit. So, Frog was in his garden. Toad came walking by. "What a fine garden you have, Frog," he said. "Yes," said Frog. "It's very nice, but it was hard work." "I wish I had a garden," said Toad. "Here are some flower seeds. Plant them in the ground," said Frog, "and soon you will have a garden." "How soon?" asked Toad. "Quite soon," said Frog. Toad ran home. He planted the flower seeds. "Now seeds," said Toad, "start growing." Toad walked up and down a few times. The seeds did not start to grow. Toad put his head close to the ground and said loudly, "Now seeds, start growing." Toad looked at the ground again. The seeds did not start to grow. Toad put his head very close to the ground and shouted, "Now seeds, start growing." Frog came running up the path. "What is all this noise?" he asked. "My seeds will not grow," said Toad. "You are shouting too much," said Frog. "Those poor seeds are afraid to grow." "My seeds are afraid to grow?" asked Toad. "Of course," said Frog. "Leave them alone for a few days. Let the sun shine on them. Let the rain fall on them. Soon your seeds will start to grow." That night, Toad looked out of his window. "Drat," said Toad. "My seeds have not started to grow. They must be afraid of the dark." Toad went out to his garden with some candles. "I will read the seeds a story," said Toad. "Then they will not be afraid." Toad read a long story to his seeds. And the next day, Toad sang songs to his seeds. He read poems to his seeds. He played music to his seeds. The seeds still did not grow. These must be the most frightened seeds in the whole world. Then Toad fell asleep. Toad, Toad, wake up, said Frog. Look at your garden. Toad looked at his garden. Little green plants were coming up out of the ground. At last, shouted Toad, my seeds have stopped being afraid to grow. So, how often, you know, is that how we meet life? We're so impatient, aren't we? Grow, change. How often are we like that with ourselves? Meditate, transform, become peaceful. You know, like we have all these ways that we, there's such an urgency, and patience can be such a relief. There's actually such a restfulness in this particular quality. It's such a gift. And there's one other nugget that I'll offer is there's different ways that patience is taught about, and one of them that I've appreciated is patience having three elements. One is perseverance. So there's this quality of continuing or continuity to practice, like this practice, for this practice to really bear fruit for us, requires perseverance. And really what that might look like, because we can sort of feel an energy of striving in that. And this is where our friend renunciation can come in, like not struggling too hard, but perseverance often really looks like setting the compass bearing of our heart and mind in a particular direction towards kindness or towards presence, and having a sense of the longer view, the longer vision of where is this practice carrying us. Not that this sit has to be a particular way, or this week, but, oh, I'm inclining my life, my mind and heart, in the direction of more freedom, more wakefulness, more presence, more care. A very wise monk, Bhikkhu Bodhi, I like his direct way of saying there's only two things you need to do on this path. One is to begin, and the other is to continue. So, you know, that's something we can do. We can persevere. The second quality of patience is sometimes described as forbearance. Patience under insult. The possibility of continuing in the face of potential difficulty. We're getting a lot of practice and forbearance right now, I think, in the world. Yeah. But it's also has this quality with patience of bearing up under the weight of what life is bringing forth. So that really is has a quality of not giving up or not giving in to anger or despair or fear. It's really a capacity to remain present and maybe even buoyant in the face of some of what's coming our way. And that is really fueled or informed by the value that we feel or see in this path or this practice. So it motivates us to endure, to keep going. And then a third quality of patience is acceptance, a wise and clear seeing. You know, that's acceptance isn't the same as liking. Acceptance is really a courageous, clear seeing. you know, understanding the truth that suffering is part of life, or that things are always changing and we can't control that, or that things are maybe less personal than we sometimes take them to be. You know, I think that classic prayer, the serenity prayer that so many of us are familiar with, really speaks to this. You know, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So we see how wisdom and patience come together often. And so patience comes to us, you know, often in the face of challenge. Pema Chodron says patience is not learned in safety. It's not learned when everything is harmonious and going well. When everything is smooth sailing, who needs patience? If you stay in your room with the door locked and the curtains drawn, everything may seem harmonious, but the minute anything doesn't go your way, you blow up. There is no cultivation of patience when your pattern is to just try to seek harmony and smooth everything out. Patience implies willingness to be alive rather than trying to seek harmony. So there's great courage in patience. Great courage. And it yields tremendous fruit. Muhammad says, patience is the key to contentment. And there's a Swahili proverb that says, patience attracts happiness. So this is a really, really sweet quality. And so I want to give you a chance to explore, you know, how do you experience patience, and perhaps how do you experience impatience? You know, it can be really helpful to explore or be interesting to notice, you know, what's it like when you find yourself waiting? What's it like when you find yourself impatient? Either with yourself or with the world, impatience can show up internally and externally. One of my teachers, Brian Lesage, once described the internal experience as being like family you can't get rid of. You know, and I always thought that was sort of, you know, funny. It's like, oh, how can we be patient with ourselves? You know, it's sort of like, oh, that internal family. You know, another place that you can explore or play with looking at patience is what happens when you find yourself in a hurry. You know, this fast-paced life often brings a pressured quality. And so, so I invite you, you know, I'll give us some time in breakout rooms that, you know, any of these elements of patience that speak to you, or the relationship between some of the qualities, generosity, non-harming behavior, or renunciation, that simplification, wisdom, or effort, how they inform patience. So enjoy each other's good company, and I will open the breakout rooms. You can click to join, and then I'll see you in about 5 minutes or so. Can you see the button, Kathy? There you go. And I know you said you have to go early, Diana, so it was good to have you here. Always really sweet. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Mm-hmm. Hmm. more done. Yeah, let's see. Welcome back, David and Andrea.
Thanks.
I know. Yeah, we'll see if they're coming back or maybe they had to drop off. Oh, here they come. Good. So welcome back. I'll just open up the floor and see if there's any wisdom about patience that wants to be shared or questions, curiosities. Julie, you're muted.
Hi. I would just share a couple of things from our group. We talked about how movement and breath can really help you in embodying being patient. And then also there's a savoring quality.
I love that. Gabriella, you're muted if you're talking.
For me, at least, it's the most important thing that I have to hang on to and learn and practice and incorporate into my life.
Thank you. So you might just play with patience this week if it speaks to you. Oh, Karen, did you have something you wanted to name?
I just wanted to share that I think I have a sense of the collective patience with what is going on for all of us. With what we are witnessing, it is just beyond anything anybody could imagine. I mean, it's all so extreme, pandemic, and in Boulder County, the CU students are exacerbating the community spread. And then we look at the Inferno fires, which, I mean, they're like something out of science fiction. So we have fires, the pandemic, and what is going on with our government, and everybody knows, so we are so challenged to carry even just one of the multiple things we're faced to carry, we're asked to carry. So
thank you, Karen. Yeah, so patience actually, it's really quite something that it comes here in the middle of this list. You know, that we're carrying the blessings of these foundational practices that are about non-harming and listening in and bringing right energy. And patience is a little bit of a fulcrum where we'll be going with the next qualities. And I might just leave you with there's some beautiful nuggets of wisdom in many cultural traditions. And and one that I liked was a Greek proverb, one minute of patience, 10 years of peace. So, you know, at those moments where it's like we could say something or we could, you know, take a breath, 1 minute of patience, 10 years of peace. And to end with a teaching from Lao Tzu, I have just 3 things to teach: simplicity, patience, compassion. These 3 are your greatest treasures. Simplicity, patience, compassion. So we've already been working with simplicity, patience, that flavor of compassion will be coming. So take really good care, and may patience be a good companion to you this week, whatever comes your way. I love it, Julie. I know, your little heart. It's a heart. She's making a heart with her fingers. Yep, you got it, Kathy. Oh, you all are so dear to me. Take such good care, and I'll see you next Wednesday. All right. Bye.